Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. Well, for all of you out there in video land, your book is coming. We have it here. And this was, the cover was done by Cindy Curley. And unfortunately, that was the last work she did. She had breast cancer, went to the hospital several weeks ago, I think on a Friday, came back home on a Sunday, and died on a Wednesday. And so this is her last work. Really wonderful. It's very eye-catching, yet very rich in everything in it. So we're grateful for that. And be sure and pray for her husband, Harry. He is just totally lost without her. He went into the hospital once last week, and he got out, was home for a few days, and just yesterday went back to the hospital. So they're sending him over to, where is it, to Kaiser Sunset Hospital in Hollywood. So he's over there. I talked to him once on the phone, and it has really hit him hard. Just really, really, really hard. So be sure and pray for him, strengthen him, and that he'll be able to find his way through it. It's difficult when it happens so suddenly. If there were time where gradual deterioration and sickness was coming on and gradual weakness and things like that over a protracted period of time, one has an opportunity to adjust your mind to the fact that the individual's going to die. And I don't know, there's just something strange about us as human beings. We all know we're going to die, but we can't think of a time when we're going to die. And you look at it the other way around, you can neither think of a time when you didn't exist, except by looking at your birthday. Okay? So, all those secrets and powers belong to God. And God won't forget any of us, and God won't leave any of us behind, much to the chagrin of the people who believe in a rapture. So this is going to be the rapture hoax, number 4. Okay? Now let's continue on. Jonathan brought to my attention, I said that this is the rapture hoax number 4. It's really number 3. So I'll have Bonnie do an add-on with it here. And as I mentioned, I did a sermon some years ago, The Temptation to Try the Whole World. Well, the word temptation is different from tribulation. What is the temptation that's coming on the whole world? What is going to tempt you more than anything else in the history of the world? It's not going to be the tribulation. Let's go to Revelation 13. And I covered in that sermon, so we're going to put it on the next one that we mail out, Revelation 13. Now, I do not know. It's a mystery to me. Years ago, the churches of God taught that the mark of the beast was Sunday keeping, because the sign of God was Sabbath and holy day keeping. All right, well, that sounds like a reasonable argument. Seventh-day Adventists believe that in the end time, the mark of the beast will be Sunday keeping, and the whole world is going to obey the Pope in keeping Sunday. Well, I don't think you're going to have that happen for the atheists. The Muslims, you think they're going to do that? How are they going to be converted to Sunday worship? Okay. And besides, if it were the mark of the beast, all right, if you're a Muslim, take away Friday. If you're Church of God and the Jews, take away Saturday. If you're the Sunday-keeping Christians, take away Sunday. What does that leave you? How many days a week does that leave you to shop? Well, collectively, 4. But individually, 6. Okay? Now, let's come here to Revelation 13. and verse 16. Now, this is the beast that had the wound but was healed. Verse 16, and he causes all. And see, this is why the book of Revelation is a separate division, because you need the whole Bible to understand it. And I'm going to give some sermons on exactly how that works. Okay? All, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the free and the bond. Now that's everybody. To receive a mark in their right hands or in their foreheads, so that no one may have the ability to buy and sell unless he has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Okay? That is the temptation. Because great pressure when it's enforced. It's going to be voluntary at first. There are going to be a lot of people going around saying, oh, look how wonderful this is. And no one can steal my identity until a Muslim comes along and hacks off your hand. Okay. A little gruesome. Or your head, if you've got it in your forehead here. Okay. And think of it today. How many here have a backyard garden where you grow all your food for the year and you harvest it and store it? Nobody. Okay. How many have chickens? Well, some may have chickens. If you do, you can have eggs and chickens. And I believe God gave chickens for all of us dumb people because it's easy to get them. Eggs are easy to get. You can catch them. You can kill them. You can use the feathers and all that sort of thing. Okay? He made them for dumb clucks, I guess. But think about it today. How long would you last if you could not go to the store? Now, the other day I went over, and here we live in a little town of Hollister. So I was driving back from Knob Hill, and I was going through the neighborhood. And here's house after house after house after house after house. Nice and clean, nice yard, nice and green, all trimmed, everything lovely and beautiful. Okay? And I thought of the scripture which says, woe to you who lay house to house and land to land. Now why? Because you have no room to grow any food. We are all totally dependent on the supermarkets. Now you may have a nice selection of supermarkets. And if you like deals, well, then you belong to Sam's Club or Costco or something like that. Okay. And Safeway has a deal that every Friday, if you have a club card number, not the beast, but the provider, you can get special deals on Friday. And Save More has the same thing, don't they, Jonathan? No, they don't? No. And one time when we were coming out of Costco, and here all the carts stacked high, all kinds of stuff. And I thought, how's it going to be with the mark of the beast? If you don't have it, you can't go in. You can't buy anything. And if it's your family, your husband, your wife, your children, etc., what is the temptation to try all the earth? Because it says all, the whole world. Temptation would be, well, why don't you get it? Don't you love your family? But of course I love them. But God says it'll cost me my eternal life. Now who do I love more? Oh, well, you know, we don't know whether the Bible is true or not. You can almost hear all the arguments, you see. But it's going to be just like we heard on when the heavens are rolled back as a scroll. Bam! All of a sudden it's going to be there. So in his sermon you will see that is the temptation. The tribulation is a different story. Yes. Was brought up, the temptation will be to save your life, save your family's life. You know, how about your children? Dad, I don't want to starve. What are you going to say? Well, you go get it and you buy food for us. Oh, how's that? All kinds of temptations, right? And it is going to be so wonderful. Now, I have to bring on a sermon, so I'll end this in just a minute. I got a report. I don't have it here with me. They are working on these tattoos. We showed you one where you can turn on and off your phone and things like that. All right. Now they're working on it, and they have discovered that they are able to put something in the tattoo which draws from your system enough electronics to run that tattoo. Now think on that, okay? So they're working on it. And then the next thing it's going to be, well, it will be invisible. You won't even see it. So that's a far cry from, remember when I gave the sermon years ago, I forget when I gave it, but when Digital Angel came out, I gave a sermon, the mark of the beast is here, and everyone, you know, woo, woo, woo. I said, wait, it's just starting, okay? So you'll receive that sermon, Temptation to Try the Whole World, and I go into the Greek words. All right. Now, let's come and continue this. Let's be sure and understand very precisely what the Bible tells us. Come to 1 Corinthians 15, because we need to go through this so that we understand it. 1 Corinthians 15, right toward the end of the chapter, okay? 1 Corinthians 15. Let's pick it up here in verse 50. Now, we are going to see there is one precise time that the resurrection takes place, and that when we read other scriptures, we cannot make assumptions that it is different times or that whole vast groups of people will be taken to a place of safety or wafted up into heaven, as they say. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. It is a secret of God. How is he going to do this? Well, now we have come very close in technology today to that secret through cloning, haven't we? And through understanding DNA. They can take a drop of blood and they can analyze it with various things concerning figuring out the DNA. And from one drop of blood, as I watch forensic files, they were able to determine almost precisely who the killer was, and the police were telling, look for a white man. DNA said he is 85% black, and that changed the whole story. And there was another one where the killing was so thorough, everything was scrubbed down, and the killer didn't realize it, but where he was wrapping up the body to take it out, and he had been wounded himself, a drop of blood fell over on a little kind of pipe, kind of like an air conditioning pipe. He didn't even see it. They found it. It identified him. Okay. Is it any great thing then for God to resurrect the dead? What happens when we die? Our bodies go to the grave and they rot, fall apart. And if you're lucky, you died years ago, centuries ago, and you lived in a dry climate, someone's going to come along and find your bones. But you're dead. God doesn't need that, because the spirit of man goes back to God who gave it. And in the spirit of man, and if you're converted, coupled with the spirit of God, okay, everything that you are, have been, and in the case with the spirit of God, will become at the resurrection, is there. And that does not have to be any more than just a boop, little point. Okay? So flesh and blood cannot do it. We all have to be changed. Verse 52. In an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. The last trumpet. Now we will see the only place where there is a count of trumpets, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, is where? Book of Revelation. Okay? Now then, this cannot be the Feast of Trumpets. Why? Because it doesn't say trumpets. trumpets. Feast of Trumpets is a memorial of blowing of trumpets and is a war feast. Okay? Now let's go on. For the trumpet shall sound. Little sidebar here. How many trumpets blew at Mount Sinai when God came down to speak to them? One. One trumpet. Okay? Not trumpets. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. All right? Now then, let's also establish something else again. Let's come here to Revelation 12. We'll look at some other scriptures. Revelation 12. And I want to make this point very clearly. Okay? Let's pick it up here in verse 13. There comes a point where Satan tries to go up into heaven again, and he and his angels are cast back down to the earth, verse 13, and when the dragon saw that he was cast down to the earth, he persecuted the woman that brought forth the man-child. So what happens is the same thing that Satan always does. How many have seen specials concerning Nazi Germany? What did they do to the Jews first? They persecuted them. They persecuted them. Then they killed them. Persecuted the woman that brought forth the man-child, and two wings of a great eagle were given to the woman so that she might fly to her place in the wilderness. Note, nowhere in the Bible is heaven called a wilderness. It's called a paradise of God, right? Yes. Where is the wilderness? Wilderness is someplace on the earth. We'll see in just a minute. Okay? Where she is nourished for a time, times and a half a time, that's 3.5 years, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast water out of his mouth as a river. Remember, Satan can do miracles. Remember what happened when Aaron and Moses went to Pharaoh? The first five that they did, the magicians were able to copy it, okay? So Satan was able to do this so that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman. The earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the river that the dragon had cast out of his mouth. Then the dragon was furious with the woman, couldn't get to her anymore, okay? Now this also shows that the woman means many people, because it is likened to the church. And we are called, what? Her children. And went to make war with the rest of her seed, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So they're on the earth. This is when the fifth seal is opened. Let's come back here to Revelation 5. We have these things come along. First four seals come quite quickly. And then what happens? Just like it is over there, if you watch ISIS on the news, follows the same thing. They come along, and the army is coming, and then they start killing and beheading and confiscating and all of that sort of thing. So seals 1, 2, 3, and 4 come quite quickly. Then the fifth seal, okay? All right, let's come here, fifth seal, chapter 6, and let's pick it up here, verse 9. Now, this is a vision to tell us something very important. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now, we'll talk about the testimony of Jesus Christ in just a bit and what that means. And they cried out with a loud voice. Now, you see, the thing is this. Our lives are to be a living testimony of what God is doing. And remember this. All Christians have died. None have gone anywhere but to the grave. Okay? Now, we know that this is a vision because what? The dead know nothing. And the day that we die, our thoughts perish. Some of them were happy to get rid of. Okay. They were told that they should rest. No. Yes. How long do you not avenge our blood on the earth? Verse 11. And white robes were given to them, showing they're going to get salvation. And they were told that they should rest a short season yet until it be fulfilled that both their fellow servants and their brethren should be killed as just as they had been. Okay. So that goes along until the time of the sixth seal. Here's the tribulation coming on the earth. Then the sixth seal is open, which is about 2 complete years into the last 3.5 years. All right. Now then, let's look at the testimony of Jesus Christ. Come here, we read that, have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Come to Revelation 19. Okay. Revelation 19. And verse 10, well, he says, the last sentence there in verse 9, these are the true words of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him, that is the angel. Isn't that interesting? What happened to Joseph Smith? Remember that? Angel came to him, angel Moroni, Phoni Moroni, and he fell on his back and worshiped him. How do people worship God? On their face. Even the 24 elders do, don't they? Yes. Okay. And I fell at his feet to worship him. Then he said, see that you do not do this. I am a fellow servant of yours and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. So that's how we know Joseph Smith was a liar. Because the angel would have said, don't do that. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now then, what is the spirit of prophecy? That is the understanding of it. How do we understand prophecy? Through the Sabbath and holy days. Now then, let's see what they say concerning this and how the scriptures are turned and twisted and distorted. Let's come to Daniel 12. So with all that background, let's come to Daniel 12. We're in the last verse. Okay. So when he says, well, that time of distress is God's wrath. See? Because he had up here in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean that we won't suffer difficulties, which is what he's implying. And then he says again, but at that time your people will be delivered. It has to be before God's wrath on the nations, known as the Great Tribulation. Well, the Great Tribulation is not all of God's wrath. Okay? Last verse, Revelation 6, verse 17. Because the great day of his wrath has come, and who has the power to stand? There's the mention of it. It starts in chapter 8, Revelation 8. All of the trumpet plagues lead up to the final wrath of God. Come here to chapter 15, which is after the resurrection. And after the resurrection, there will be no human beings alive. All right. Verse 1, Revelation 15. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and awesome, 7 angels having the 7 last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is filled up. There's the wrath of God, the 7 last plagues. No, it is true, God has not appointed us to wrath, but to salvation. Correct. But that does not mean, as he says, it has, he says, but at that time your people will be delivered. It has to be before God's wrath on the nations, also known as the Great Tribulation. Well, he's got everything mixed up here. Tribulation is the whole period of time of 3.5 years. Tribulation against Israel is 2 years. Hosea, the 6th chapter. The time from, and it's likely that the 144,000 great innumerable multitude will be be spared on beginning right after the day of Pentecost. Okay? From Pentecost to trumpets is how much time? 4.5 months. Then, what happens when we come to trumpets? Well, let's come back there and look at it. Okay? Revelation, the 8th chapter. Revelation, okay. Okay. Now then, let's just read that again. Daniel 12:2 says, "But at that time your people shall be delivered." It has to be before God's wrath on the nations, also known as the Great Tribulation. Now he's got it half right and half wrong. See? Says there, Revelation 6:17, the great day of his wrath. Now in prophecy, how long is a day? 1 year. Trumpets? 2 trumpets. So, what happens? Chapter 8. He opened the 7th seal, and there was silence in heaven about the space of a half hour. Then the 7 angels stood before God, and 7 trumpets were given to them. And another angel had a golden censer and so forth. All right, let's see how this comes along. As we covered, yes, I think we have it here. Okay. It's hard to keep up with their writings because they're so mixed up. And the reason being is that they have partial truth and they have partial understanding. And since they don't know the holy days and don't know the plan of God, they make assumptions and come to a wrong conclusion. So that's what's happened here. Okay. So he says, continuing, before we go on with the trumpet plagues, "So after that event, I believe." Okay, let's see what he believes. Chapter 8, here are the trumpet plagues. 1, 2, 3, 4, and then stops at 4, verse 12, and then the last 3 are going to be woes. Chapter 9, 5th angel sounded his trumpet. Now, nowhere does it show that the trumpets are sounded out of sequence. Remember what we read last time where he said, well, what if the 7th trumpet is blown before the 6th trumpet? How can you have the 7th trumpet blown before the 6th trumpet? Now, then we go through 2 of the woes, chapter 8 and chapter 9. Now we come to chapter 10. Chapter 10, here we go. Let's see what he has to say about this. "Then I saw another strong angel coming down out of heaven, clothed with a cloud, with a rainbow on his head. And his face was like the sun, and his feet were like pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book that was open, and he placed his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the earth." That's a pretty giant angel. "And he cried with a loud voice as a lion roars. And when he cried, the 7 thunders uttered their voices." Now, we don't know what the 7 thunders said because John was told, don't write it. So we can't understand what it is. All right? Now then, now let's pick it up here. And here's what he was to do. Come down here to verse 8. "Then the voice that I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, go take the little book that is open in the hand of the angel who is standing on the sea and the earth. And I went to the angel and said to him, give me the little book. And he said to me, take and eat it. It shall make your belly bitter, but your mouth shall be sweet as honey. I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth, but after I ate it, it was bitter in my belly. And he said to me, you must again prophesy against many people and nations and languages and kings." All right, here's what he says about this. So after the event, that is this event, I believe the rapture, the little book scroll, which is sweet as honey in the mouth but sour in the stomach, after this event, John is told to prophesy again about many peoples and nations, languages, and kings. Those he next prophesies about what would be all who are left behind from the early tribulation, rapture, and resurrection. Is there an early resurrection? How can you have an early rapture with an early resurrection? By far, the vast majority of the world's population, especially if all the nations of those taken in the early tribulation rapture fit in a little book. Now, this is the premier study on the rapture. Okay? Now then, let's take a little break and we'll come back and we will see why there will be no rapture.